With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back to the Wolverine Podcast. I'm John Borton here with Tom Crawford, our usual Tuesday night guest. You know, Tom, all of you who are fans of Press Pass that you can watch on Sunday nights on Fox 47, and also... Tom has his own podcasting network that he created, and we keep up with that. Tom, great to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be here. Michigan's 10-0 for the first time since, 2006. It's great to have some involvement with Michigan football this year. It's a special season, and it's always fun to talk about it with you, John, each week.
There's no question about it. We're hoping to have another special guest here in a few moments, and we will cross our fingers and look to welcome that individual in. Now, I've got, as you said, 10-0, number three in the nation. We'll find out later on this evening exactly where they stand in the playoff rankings. We know third place. A week ago, and we'll see. They've done nothing to displace themselves, certainly. But it seems like it is all in Michigan's hands. I know that you were paying special attention to an SI article today that was talking about Michigan's schedule and the possible pitfalls there. But again, you win out, you don't have to worry about that. You lose that Ohio State game, and then we might revisit the discussion that we had in earnest before the season started.
Yeah, well, there's no, in my estimation, I know we're going to talk about this in the podcast, that there's no sense of revisiting it if they lose, because I think they're going to be out. But, you can control your destiny just winning out. And that's the way you want to play it. You know, I mean, if you're in control of your destiny, you're living a gifted life, I think, in college football. And beat Illinois, which I think is going to be a little bit more challenging, perhaps, than most people think. Michigan's defense, or offense, rather, is looking a tad challenged in its vertical passing game, and that needs to be refined a little bit. The red zone issue as well. But they're still running the football, and this defense is a special defense. I think it's in that category. And I go back in Michigan lore back to 1964. I've seen some great defenses. And this is grooming to be one of the best, I think. And so excited about that. And then you go down to Ohio State, win that game. And then you control it. You go down to Indy, win that, and then go on to the CFP. But, I think, fans, what fans do in media, they look at backup plans in case this doesn't work. And this is what they'll talk about on the CFP tonight. You know, well, if Michigan loses, you know, well, they get a bid, and it's Tennessee and all these other options, TCU, potentially USC. And so you don't worry about it. You're right. Control your own destiny. That's what you embrace.
Yep, get it done. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about Illinois later in the podcast when we bring that topic up, because I am not as convinced that they're going to be. Hey, there she is.
She's an angel.
She is. Yes, absolutely. Angelique Changelis, not only the angel of the big house, but also the newest member of the Hall of Fame of Michigan Stadium, the press box. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm the angel of my car right now, yes, so yes. I'm sorry about the background, but I just made it to Ann Arbor.
All that shows is your dedication.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, definitely for you too, yes.
Definitely. Tom and I were just talking about Michigan controlling its own destiny. People have talked about the non-conference schedule. Yeah, problem there. Maybe if they drop that Ohio State game. I picked them before the season to go undefeated through the regular season up to Columbus, drop a close game, and then still make the playoff, which – you know, it's a little controversial right now because people are talking about that non-conference schedule. And I'm, you know, if you're Michigan now, you're not thinking about playing Ohio State close. You're thinking about winning that game. Your thoughts about Michigan controlling its own destiny at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, I caught the very end of what you and Tom were talking about. And I think Tom is erring on the side of the CFP and how they've been describing Michigan, not only as workmanlike, which is not a negative, although it sort of sounded like a negative when I first heard it.
But it's a negative.
A little bit, especially because it was said in the same sentence with Ohio State being basically very flashy and high scoring and highfalutin. You know, it goes back to Tom's question at Big Ten Media Days when he asked Jim Harbaugh about the non-conference. I mean, that's coming back to bite them. And, you know, I think it's going to be really hard for if there is that scenario with a close game, you could make an argument for it. And I think that, John, you mentioned Tennessee's potentially is a could be an issue in that scenario of Michigan getting in, but if there's a slim chance, but I mean, you can't rely on slim chances. You've got to win these next two games. And then I think you see Michigan in that Final Four.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that there is that chance that if you ran the table this far, played a 2006 game, like game at Ohio State, there would still be a chance, but you don't want to take that chance. If you're Jim Harbaugh, if you're this team, there's no reason. And I see it setting up the same way. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Ohio State being the flashier team, the higher scoring team, but that's exactly the way it was a year ago. And we saw what happened. It's a different setting in Columbus, obviously. But one of the things Michigan has going for it, we'll shift gears here a little bit, is that it has risen to the top of the defensive statistics in a number of categories in the nation: scoring, total defense, rushing defense. I know that there are some teams in the Big Ten that are not terribly adept at scoring points this year. So starting with you, Angelique, how do you measure that in terms of, okay, this is obviously a very good defense. Is it a great defense?
Well, is it the chicken and the egg scenario here too, John? I mean, is it because Michigan's defense is so good that these teams have struggled to run the ball against Michigan and score points against Michigan? I happen to think this is a really good defense, and I like it. I really like this defense. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh doesn't like to make comparisons, but I think we're okay doing that. And I like this defense better than last year's. I mean, there were some great pieces to last year's defense, but, you know, and sometimes I was going back, I was thinking about what Harbaugh was saying before the season about it's a no-star defense. And, you know, I like defense. Sometimes those are the best defenses I've coached, and they've come through. And sometimes I hear that and I'm like, oh, it's just Jim trying to talk up a defense that maybe is going to be mediocre. But I think he was being sincere, and I think that's accurate. I mean, I think that this is really they have a lot of depth, and the defense is getting production from every level. I think that there are still some pieces. I mean, I think you've seen the defensive backs, you know, they've given up some big plays. But in the end, the defense has stopped drives when they've needed to, and they've really – it's been impressive the second half, these last five games. I think it's, what, 117-3 now that Michigan has outscored teams in the second half. So, you know, I think that this is a lot of the lack of production is because of Michigan's very stout defense.
There you go. Good points, Tom. Can Michigan – will that defense travel? Can it do the same thing in Columbus that it did a year ago in Michigan Stadium? In 27 points, I mean, that's decent, but it was so far below Ohio State's average last year.
Yeah, if they can conquer the shallow crosser, we know what that's like in Columbus. We've seen that. But, you know, and I agree totally with Angelique. And I've, you know, my background in Michigan football, as I mentioned, goes back to the 60s. And that late 60s, early 70s, Michigan's had defenses where the players would swarm to the ball, where everybody met at the ball carrier. I think Harbaugh alluded to this earlier in the year, and I'm seeing it optically, that there's a lot of winged helmets at the ball, as opposed to just open field tackles in the past. So I'm with Angelique. I totally love this defense. I think it is a strong suit of this Michigan football team. And when we talk about offense, that's when I think the challenges pop up in my head. And I'm talking about the red zone offense. I'm talking about the lack of a vertical passing game and all the stress of having Blake Corum carry this team to victory against a team like Columbus in at the Horseshoe and then potentially down the road against Georgia's defense, which is faster than hell. That's what I'm concerned with more than the defense, obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, on the other side of the ball, you've got Blake Corum, who is putting together one of the best seasons in Michigan football history. And my question, Tom, you're already warmed up, so you take this one first and we'll go to Angelique. But does he end up in New York in December? And if so, why?
I think he'll end up in New York. And the reason why, I think the race is close enough, and I'm not a voter, Angelique is, but I mean, I think there's going to be I don't think there's going to be a massive gap. And so what they typically do is they'll bring five. I think this is one of those years to be five. And I think Blake's going to be one of them because I think he's going to have good games in these last two games. And my God, he's getting, I'm saying his effort was workmanlike, but you look up and he's got 140 yards. I mean, he's getting yards without even you realizing he's getting yards, getting a lot of carries. But this is an amazing running back. I mean, I go back, you could go back to Tyrone Wheatley and to Munga Biakabatuka and all these other players. But you're going to think I'm crazy and embellishing this young man, but I think he's a cross between Derrick Henry and Barry Sanders. And if people think, oh man, you're crazy. But you look at his style, it combines a little bit of the two. And I'm going to ask you too, have you ever seen a more jacked, we go to the postgame pressers and they're sitting in front of us and Blake comes in there all confidence, but have you ever seen a body that's more jacked up pound for pound than Blake Corum was ever sat in front of us? I mean, this dude, how do you tackle a dude like that? That's my question.
I'll tell you, Tom, it's John Borton. I mean, John, when you see John in the post-game press conference, that's what
that's him right
all
there.
All right. All right. Seriously now, talk about what you've seen from him, and do you think that he will be a Heisman candidate?
I agree with Tom. I was thinking about that today. I mean, I believe last year was three finalists were in New York. I think when Jabril Peppers went, there were five. So I think I agree it'll be something like that. And, it really comes down to Columbus. And that's the big stage. That's where if Blake Corum has a huge game, I think that ensures him going to New York. If he doesn't have a great game, I guess that will probably maybe keep him from going to New York. But to your points, I mean, he is a tremendous running back and he has carried this offense and he has wanted to. I mean, he wants the ball. I really think he wanted to come back in a couple weeks ago and Mike Hart's like, no, you got to sit, you got to rest. And, Harbaugh joked earlier in the season that he could play back-to-back games. I mean, okay, realistically, no, but that's the kind of motor he has. And just seeing how he has changed his game, how it has evolved. And I asked him about it a couple weeks ago, and it was really more for him learning how to become patient and seeing the field a little differently, slowing the game down in that sense. And it's been a joy to watch. And he's a very fine young man. So it's been on both those sides, on the field and off the field. It's been a pleasure to cover Blake Corum.
No doubt. Terrific kid. He'll be giving out the turkeys again soon. And let me draw one parallel between my mighty physique and Blake Corum's. We're about the same height. I got that going for me. Yeah. And
I have not seen him wear any sweaters yet. I mean, we'll give him some time.
No, he came wrapped like a mummy in the last post-game. Yeah. Maybe right. I should try that. But
That's right.
This is a kid that this is very frustrated if they lock him out of the weight room, put limits on how hard he can work. And that has been an amazing part of his success story. And I just think he's checked every box. All people were saying before the season, well, maybe he is not as durable. We don't know. Can he gain the short yardage? Can he do this? The answer is yes. Now, Angelique, great point. Ohio State is the biggest stage in the Big Ten. We will see what he does down there. And, you know, we know JT was short. We're going to see if Blake is long when it comes time. Now, besides Blake Corum, we are facing a situation, and we're gonna look, you know, Michigan has to play in one game at a time. They're all focused on Illinois. We're going to talk about Illinois. But right now, we don't have to play in one game at a time. I'm taking a peek ahead and asking you, Angelique Changelis, if Michigan is good enough in the passing game to get it done down in Columbus.
I'm not convinced it's good enough in the passing game. I think that, you know, you'll get Luke Schoonmaker back. I think that's, you know, he's not a receiver, but he is a guy that JJ McCarthy is very comfortable with. You know, Ronnie Bell is another guy. You know, I think in this conversation about JJ McCarthy and the deep ball and the passing game, you know, you got to put some of this on the receivers too. I mean, getting separation has not been key for this group since last season. I think Ronnie Bell, you know, was a guy coming in last year who they believed would be that guy. And Darrell Anthony, you know, there were a couple times, it was early in the season, I was trying to think which game it was. It was a home game, and it was a deep ball. And I saw him, he was slowing down in the route a little bit.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it's hard to get timing on these balls. And yes, you know, I heard Doug Karsh on the radio broadcast Saturday say they spent all last Tuesday working on it. Well, they need to spend, like, all week working on it. And do I think it'll click? Yes, I do. Will it happen in Columbus? Well, I mean, they certainly hope so, because they do have to be balanced, because you know that this is going to be a much stouter defense that Blake Corum and this offensive line are going to face. You know, it'll be tougher for him to grind out those yards. And so this is going to be an opportunity for JJ to prove that and the receivers that they can get it done. But right now, I think the jury's out. I was a little more like, no, but I've got to believe it's there, because we saw it at Indiana. We saw that he could put up the passing yards there. And, you know, I think it's important to have Luke Schoonmaker back. And I think you're going to count on him and Ronnie Bell. And I think Roman Wilson is a guy that he could be the surprise guy in Columbus.
No doubt. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more about the receiving core lack of separation. And I watch some, you know, we go to the games, and I come home and I tape them. I watch them again. And Andrell, you know, and I've known Andrell since he was a kid. I text with his dad from East Lansing. And, you know, there's frustration. They're not getting targets. But, I mean, you got to get separation. And it seems like they're getting into these karate battles going down on these routes, and they're slowing themselves down. I mean, there was a deep ball that Andrell, I think, slowed up a tad on. I don't know if it was this last game or the game before against Michigan State. And separation is key. Ronnie Bell gets separation. Roman Wilson can be that guy on the shallow crosser that Ohio State did to Michigan. But where is in the red zone, Angelique and John, where is the waggle play to Jeremy Tooman? Where's the tight end? Well, Benny Joppa, who used to run these post corners when he was playing here in the early 2000s, where the tight end would catch him. I'm not seeing any creativity in the passing game deep in the red zone, or else, you know, midway red zone, that poses a threat to the defense. All we're seeing is negative plays on first down. We're trying to ram it down like Michigan State, taking four down. That's my problem, Angelique, is where's the creativity in the passing game?
Well, I think that what didn't Jim try to make the point after last week's game that, look, you know, how about that play in the red zone? It was a little bit more creative, but where I agree with you. And look, I've been harping on it for a month before a couple games ago, which game was it now, where they had all the field goals in the first half and everybody was
Michigan
like,
State.
Oh, red zone. Yeah, that's right. And I'm just like, you know, this is not just happening. This has been happening a lot this season. And it goes back to the play calling too. I mean, you know, you've got two play callers. I put this on Matt Weiss. I mean, I think he's your third down red zone guy, and you've got to be more creative, and you've got to find ways. And yes, I understood what Jim Harbaugh was saying after the Rutgers game, fourth and one, and going for it four downs to get in twice. And, you know, that's showing your grittiness, I guess, but I agree with you. I mean, you've got to be more creative. And, you know, Blake Corum is your go-to guy, but it's also about wear and tear on him. And you've got to utilize all the weapons that everyone has been talking about since preseason. You know, maybe the receiving group isn't what we thought it was.
All right. Let me add just a couple things maybe to play Urban Meyer's advocate or however that saying goes. Devil's advocate. That's right. You've got Doug Karsh, whom Angelique referenced, insisting that Michigan has some stuff tucked away just for Ohio State. You are winning games by an average of 42-11. I don't know as they've necessarily had to dip into things that maybe they didn't want to show. We'll see. We'll see if, I mean, they may try to go to it in Ohio State, in Columbus, and it may not work out. But I think as you get into a game where they very well could be behind at some point, which they haven't had to deal with, you might see a little bit more. I will also say this. This was fascinating to me when I look back at last year's numbers. Cade McNamara in that game goes 13 for 19 for 159 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. It is not like they tore Ohio State apart. I mean, C.J. Stroud, he's 34 for 49, 394 yards, two touchdowns. Michigan did not, in that game, need to tear them up through the air. And I get it. There's a different defensive coordinator. It could be a totally different situation. But I was a little surprised looking back. I remember the 37-yard throw Johnson to
CJ.
Set up a touchdown. Yeah, to CJ to set up a touchdown. And then, but that was really it as far as downfield passing. J.J. McCarthy went one for one, got off a 31-yard, you know, kind of a dump and run. But I just wonder if you know, they can go with the same sort of thing or if they will be so stacked against that run and so geared up after what happened last year that they're going to have to throw significantly more than that.
I don't think you should underestimate Knowles in this defense. I mean, I think Ohio State's better. I at the start of the season, I would say that would work, John, but I think that they've gotten their acts together on the defensive side. And, you know, I think it's just going to be – and it's in Columbus. What, Michigan hasn't won there since 2000. I mean, this is – there are so many factors. I just think that Michigan has to have that ability. And I'm not saying it's not there. And I'm not – I'm also not a big fan of hiding things either. I mean, I think you've got to try to run not every little wrinkle, but try to get things out there and work through them in game – at game speed in a game – versus practice where it's friendly fire, as they say. So I think it's going to be tough. And yes, I've looked ahead at the weather. I mean, I can't help myself. I mean, you know, like 10 to 15 mile an hour winds and maybe a little rainy. So I think that maybe that's going to be a factor too. I mean, we can't underestimate that element either.
That'd be a good thing. You know, John, if I could chime in on that, you know, as far as you know, what Michigan's been doing in their running game as of right now, if they continue to act like they've been behaving right now, this is a 14-17 point loss in Columbus. I promise you they're going to lose by double digits. But, you know, use some of that creativity. I mean, this goes back to sometimes the frustrations I have with Jimmy running that end around option pass that became a PR nightmare against Michigan State. How come that wasn't saved for the Ohio State game? I mean, my God, you're up 29-7. Why are you using that play with under four to go? Save that in the toolbox. This is the stuff that blows my mind moving forward. Listen, I'm loving the 10-0 as fan media. I'm loving it, okay? But I'm just seeing, and I predicted like you, John, in Indy. I said, this team's got 11-1 written all over it. It's got 11, you know, look at the schedule. They're going to beat Penn State. They're going to beat Michigan State at home. But they're not going to go to Columbus and win it because for all the reasons we're talking about right now. I just don't see it happening. And let's say we see some unleashing of some fine tuning in the creative passing game on Saturday against Illinois.
All right. Very well. I already owe you a milkshake. We all know about that bet. Well, we can. I am willing to go double or nothing right now.
You mean the JJK McNamara milkshake? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The one who is playing versus the one who just had surgery. So
okay.
You know, but I'm willing to go double or nothing that Michigan does not lose this game by 17 points in Columbus.
We'll think about that. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay. All right. We'll give him some time to think about that. Okay. Meanwhile, I will go to Angelique and ask Illinois. We better talk about them. They are there on the schedule this weekend. Illinois, legitimate foe or fraud?
I think somewhere in the middle. I've not been completely sold that this is a really good team. I mean, look, you got to consider that West Division and what the teams that are in there and the competition. I think they have some very good pieces. I mean, you got Brown is very good. They've got a couple guys in their secondary who are very legit. And I mean, I think you've got a first team All-American back there, at least a second team. And so I think that they're really good. I really liked the Brett Bielema hire when they made it. I think he's a tough coach. He's made them tougher. But I think that the only way Michigan, you can't look ahead, obviously. And I think that that's been a very good part of this team, this Michigan team, is they have remained focused. No one has even talked about the Ohio State game in Columbus next week. And I think that they're focused on getting this done. So I think it'll be another workmanlike game. But I also think that they're aware that I don't think that Jim Harbaugh wants to pander for vote, but I think they know that they should probably put on a little bit of a show on Saturday, if possible, just going into that Columbus game to have people thinking about what we've discussed earlier about that the CFP and the Final Four and the possibility of getting two in.
Sure. All right, Tom, legit foe or fraud?
They've slid into the fraud category. and I've been saying to Evelyn, I go, one of these weeks, Illinois is going to be coming Illinois. And they did it last week and they became Illinois again. And I said, UCLA is going to be coming UCLA. Sometimes you just feel it coming. And even I saw Illinois, for some reason, I had plenty of time that day. I watched the entire Illinois-Indiana game back in September or whatever. And it's just like, God, this is still Illinois. And I think that their defense, though, is really good. The Chase Brown thing is huge. If he doesn't play, I mean, right. Michigan shouldn't have that much challenge stopping these guys offensively. Illinois' defense is very good. I'm feeling like a 24-7 workmanlike, which we always like to use, kind of win. And Angelique, I really don't think that Jim's going to go after style points because you don't have to show it. You're not like Tennessee where you got to hammer people because you're in the clubhouse and you got to glorify things because you don't have any control of you can't get to a conference championship. Michigan just got to win, and I think he knows that, and just lay it all on the line at Columbus. And if they get creative, they're going to win that game. If they don't get creative, they're going to lose by a couple touchdowns.
That's very fair. I would agree with that, Tom.
Then I'm going to go fraud all the way because I see I see Illinois with as big a chance of leaving Michigan Stadium as much damaged in reputation as Penn State was when they came in as one of the top rushing defenses in the nation and maybe the second best team in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. And Michigan just wore them down and beat them up. And I get the fact that Illinois has played good defense this year. I also get the fact that Illinois is in the West, and it's just like this battle to see who can emerge to get absolutely blown off the field in Indianapolis by the East win. So that's where I'm sitting right now. Players don't listen, focus, all that kind of thing. But That's where I'm at. This next question, I want to direct to Angelique because you have done considerable good work in this area in recent days, and it has everything to do with the fallout from the Michigan State game, the tunnel incident, And what I'm wondering is, and what a lot of people on our message board and on our website are wondering is, what, why the silence from the Big Ten? What can we expect, and when, and everything that you've kind of talked to? I know you've talked to people. Your thoughts about all this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, John, I don't know how long the prosecutor is going to take with this investigation. And I mean, it took 2 weeks for the U of M Police Department to get through all this. You know, there were a lot of people to interview. There were a lot of people in that tunnel, a lot of eyewitnesses. You know, they had all the video to go through. So, you know, now the prosecutor has it. And the Big Ten, from my conversations, they are waiting to see what comes out of this. Will there be charges against a player, two players from Michigan State? That's very possible. And how will the Big Ten come down on this? I mean, you know, I think that Michigan State did the right thing right away. They suspended the four players and then another four players and indefinitely. I mean, they haven't practiced. They haven't participated. And, you know, you keep hearing it's going to be soon. I just don't think you can put a timeline on it right now. The prosecutor is going to take his time to go through this. And, but I would not be surprised to see at least criminal charges against one of the players. I don't know that for sure, but that's the vibe I'm getting.
Okay, that's a separate entity than anything that the Big Ten might do, but obviously that's huge. Do you anticipate the Big Ten potentially going beyond the suspensions that have already been rendered and doing something with regard to a sanction on Michigan State?
I don't know, John. I mean, I think that, you know, the suspensions so far have been, I think, generally well received by everyone involved. I mean, could they look at the tunnel security as something? I mean, Michigan certainly made changes on Saturday. Everyone saw it. You know, the Michigan team waited. They were held back until everyone from Nebraska was up the tunnel. Probably a good move. I mean, you know, no one has ever seen what happened after the Michigan State game before, but there's been pushing. There's been jawing and all those things. And, you know, I think that was a good step by Michigan to at least make those changes security wise. You know, will the Big Ten want to see Michigan maybe add a beefier security force in the tunnel versus volunteers or people who are in there? That's quite possible too. You know, they have all sorts of sportsmanship policies, and I'm certain the Big Ten can probably go through those and find something that would apply to both programs at this stage. But right now I think the Big Ten's in a standby, you know, waiting for this prosecutor's decision, just like everybody else is.
Okay. Tom, let me direct the series question to you, and then if Angelique wants to weigh in, that would be good as well. There are people that are out there that say, hey, this series needs to take a break for a year or two. And that would be difficult to do next year because you aren't in that switch where you're adding teams yet. But in Commissioner Tom's world, if you were running the show, would you give these two teams a timeout in the series just because of how nasty it has gotten?
Three words. Oh, hell yes. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, Bacon, John U. Bacon, we love John U. And he came out with some heavy content on Saturday night when we were in the press conference. And I'm up here in East Lansing. I got Michigan State people all around me. And I got access to a lot of sites. And man, you would not believe the venomous attitudes are towards him. It's kind of scary stuff. And this is a bad, bad rivalry, as Bobby Williams called it many years ago. And I wish it would take a break. I mean, I was talking to Mike Valeni today of 97.1. He goes, I wish Michigan State, his alma mater, would go down to the ACC. And to hell with the Big Ten. You know, I mean, so you're getting these emotional, grandiose statements that all of us are doing because we love our schools. It's a toxic rivalry. It's a bad rivalry. I've talked to former players at Michigan. I'm sure Angelique has as well. It's a different kind of a situation between Michigan, Ohio State versus Michigan, Michigan State. I mean, it's a dirty rivalry on that field. You don't want to hang around the pile at Michigan State, says Michigan players. Whereas Ohio State is much cleaner and more respectful, even though it's, you know, it, you're trying to win a Big Ten championship. So, yeah, I want this. I hate this rivalry. I can't stand it. I think the basketball game in early January up at Breslin is going to be interesting. Let me just say that, especially when Hunter Dickinson is, you know, he's throwing, he's got some vibe going on there with a, with their fan base on social media. I know how Izzo feels about Michigan, and he don't like Michigan. Izzo don't like Michigan, and it's going to show.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, he told me he hates Michigan. He hates Michigan, okay? Is it a sports hate? Hate is a strong word, but it's being used so, you know, loosely these days. It's kind of scary, especially what's going on in the political environment. So, no, I hate this rivalry. I can't stand it.
Okay, obviously Tom's not passionate about this topic. Angelique, maybe you could give your thoughts on all of that he just brought to the table.
You know, John, I mean, my perspective coming into this a long time ago, I grew up in Ohio, so I knew Michigan, Ohio State, and I always loved that rivalry. So coming here and experiencing Michigan, Michigan State, it's completely different. I mean, it can feel very toxic. But I will say, sometimes I think, do we look at this through the lens of social media and message boards where there's so much going back and forth? Because I've received emails from friends of mine who went to Michigan State who were appalled by what happened in the tunnel and, you know, didn't like any of that one bit. You know, I'd heard a lot of what John Bacon wrote about. I heard about that about 10 or so days ago. And, you know, I think it's hard to imagine people saying things like that on the sideline. I'm sure there are some variations of those kinds of things in the heat of the moment. You know, you say stupid stuff, but you know, I've gone back and forth on this. I mean, because it gets very ugly that week, and this year it was 2 weeks leading up to the game, and I'm like, it's just too toxic. Maybe they need to take a break. But you know what? Television's not going to let that happen. I mean, next year, can you imagine how this is going to be played up going into that game on television and all the stories? I think that they've got to find a way, and I'm not sure how you do that, to make this a little more collegial. But, you know, I think in the past we've all celebrated, oh, they hate each other, whatever. And it just went DEFCON. Is DEFCON 1? That's the worst, right? DEFCON 1.
There you go.
I was like, is it 5 or 1? And, you know, it really has in the last few years, and it hasn't been fun. And it needs to be fun again. And I'm not sure that it can happen, but I also don't see this series going away.
Well, here's how it can. Can I chime in real quickly, though, John?
Sure.
Dovetailing off Angelique. How it can happen? Here's how it can happen, which won't happen, is that you're going to have to get Jim Harbaugh and Mel Tucker on the same page. And we go into the summer, they're going to have public service announcements. They're going to have Izzo involved with that, Juwan involved with that. You're going to have to get the presidents. Well, Michigan State needs to get a president and get a board that operates in succinct to get some leadership at the top. Michigan's got a great president now. And have a campaign where sportsmanship is pushed. And let's get back to the 70s and 80s. I mean, it was tight back when I was in school. I mean, it was like this, like that, but nothing compared to now. I mean, it's going to take a PR effort and cooperation. And will Mel Tucker and Jim Harbaugh do that in a cooperation fashion? I don't see that happen. I just don't see it happening.
Okay. Well, here's one other way you can add a little levity to the whole situation. At Michigan State, say half hour before the game, they work this into the pregame planning. You put Juwan Howard and Tom Izzo in those giant bubble suits, the big ball.
There you go,
and
see?
The first one to knock the other one outside of the lines, you win it, and everybody has donuts. There you go. All right, we're in the home stretch here.
Mr. Solution here, John Borden. Okay,
well, you thank me later. We're in the home stretch here in this podcast. I want to throw out one more Ohio State question because there's plenty OSU on the mind, even though it's Illinois week. Angelique, you've got those running backs for the Buckeyes a little bit nicked up. do you expect, and you've had other injuries in Jigba throughout the season, do you expect that by another week and a half, they're going to be all back up to speed?
I think the running backs, I don't know about Njigba. I really don't. But I think the running backs, I think they're coming back this week. I thought that's what Ryan Day said Tuesday. But yeah, I think that they'll be full strength. And, you know, you're right. And I have to admit, I've been barely thinking about the Illinois game. I mean, who doesn't start looking ahead to what it could possibly be? They both have to get their jobs done on Saturday, Michigan and Ohio State. But yeah, I mean, I think that they'll be as full strength as possible in Columbus.
Okay. Well, I just, those nagging injuries that just seem to have popped up for the running backs, they may be good to go, but if you've tweaked an ankle and you know, it just takes that one hit to bring it back, but we will see where they end up with personnel wise. Obviously, that is a very dangerous roster either way, even if you have some players that might not be 100%, and Michigan certainly needs to get some of their own back to full strength. Last thing for both of you, and it's a straight-up yes or no and a little embellishment if you choose. Michigan has to beat Ohio State to be in the playoff. Tom Crawford, you go first.
What do you think? They have to beat Ohio State, okay? Because it's going to be the SEC is going to take over, invade the CFP, let alone you could have a TCU sneak in there. So, I mean, they've got to beat Ohio State. This is a non-negotiable scenario for the Michigan Wolverines. You got to run the table, and then you can get your berth in Phoenix where Georgia goes to Atlanta.
Angelique, is he right?
Yes. That's my answer. Yes. I mean, Tom said, I don't have to add anything because he's absolutely correct. I totally agree with him on this. You got to go to Columbus and win.
There you go. From the word of two longtime experts on Michigan football, and we thank you both for sitting in with us tonight. We will do this again next week. Angelique, I know you've got things that you have to do. And Tom, you as well. I appreciate it.
I do.
Again. And oh, yeah, you have always got something going. So take care, and we'll see you all next week.
All right.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Tom. And
all right.
Really happy Thanksgiving.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.